I wanted to talk a little bit about money and how it really comes into play in large transition periods. And what do I mean by large transition periods? Maybe we are going through a divorce. Maybe we are going through the loss of a job or even the loss of a loved one. First of all, people really disconnect the money side from the emotional side, right? So I think a lot of times people want money and emotions to be in separate boxes. They want money to exist over here. They want emotions to be over here, and they don't want the two to overlap. And the unfortunate part is that they do overlap, and they do overlap in a lot of big, bold ways. And a lot of times we discount how important that intersect is and how it is affecting our ability to really create financial mastery in our lives. It's never been more important, and there's never been a better time for you to create awareness around not only your money, but the emotions you hold surrounding it. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. Today, I just wanted to talk a little bit about something that has been weighing on me a lot. So I talk about money all the time. Money is such an important part of, you know, our lives, you know, even though it is a tool, even though it is technically a fake made up thing. It's so important, but I wanted to talk a little bit about money and how it really comes into play in large transition periods. And what do I mean by large transition periods? I mean, maybe we are going through a divorce. Maybe we are going through the loss of a job or even the loss of a loved one, unfortunately, right? We could be talking about making a major shift in our financial picture, right? Maybe an intentional shift or maybe an unintentional shift, something that we didn't necessarily choose or pick. And so the reason that I want to talk about this is what I find is that, first of all, people really disconnect the money side from the emotional side, right? So I think a lot of times people want money and emotions to be in separate boxes. They want money to exist over here. They want emotions to be over here, and they don't want the two to overlap. And the unfortunate part is that they do overlap, and they do overlap in a lot of big, bold ways. And a lot of times we discount how important that intersect is and how it is affecting our ability to really create financial mastery in our lives. And so one of the things that I just want to share is it's never been more important, and there's never been a better time for you to create awareness around not only your money, but the emotions you hold surrounding it. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have or you don't have, if you don't understand where your emotions are coming from around it, why they're existing around it, how you can potentially shift them, then we're never going to reach a level where we feel really comfortable and really good. Okay. And let me explain what I mean. I shared through another conversation with another individual about a situation that I dealt with my divorce. So when I went through a divorce damn near 20 years ago, it was a very financially abusive situation. And it wasn't created initially out of financial abuse, right? There wasn't like this thing where like he from day one just told me like, screw you. There was actually a conversation that happened in our marriage that he said, you know, we need to pick somebody to handle the money, the finances. He wanted it to be one or the other. And I said, okay, I tend to be more of a spender, hence the 20,000 purple cups. And I still am to a point. And so I was like, okay, well, it should be you, right? Like, you're probably the one that's the more like fiscally responsible as far as like, you know, keeping some reins on it, stuff like that or whatever. So we'll make you the person that is the thing. So we chose that. And I think, first of all, making that choice myself, I think that I believe that because I chose it, that what happened next wasn't abuse because I had voluntarily walked into it, which isn't necessarily the case, by the way. Just because you sign up for something doesn't mean that it can't turn badly. And in this particular case, we were dealing with me not having any control over the money. Like, I couldn't go spend $20 at Target, you know, without getting the third degree. I mean, I literally distinctly remember that I made a $5,000 bonus at work. And this was a big deal because, to give you some consideration, I made like 30 grand at the time. And so $5,000, I mean, think about percentage wise, how much of money that really was, right? And so made this big bonus check, and I got $200 that I was allowed, I'll put that in quotes, to spend. And the crazy part is that you can say, well, that might be reasonable, right? $200 or whatever, if you guys had other things you needed to save or, you know, use the money for. But what I spent the money on was brand new work shoes. And the reason why is because my other work shoes had literal holes in them. And so I hadn't been allowed to replace them because, again, I didn't have any of the control of the money, right? And so what did this create in me? Well, this created some trauma, right? Some frustration, some feeling out of control because of how little control I was holding in this situation. And so when this relationship broke, when this divorce broke, what happened to me? Well, I spent like mad because I hadn't been able to do it because I had been restricted. I had been told, no, you can't do that. And it also had a little bit of underpinnings from my childhood because my mother was uber strict with money. Even though my father made a fair bit of money, she even made a fair bit of money. And we were in a pretty good financial picture, like growing up as a child. Because my mother grew up very poor, she never wanted to be there again. And so she was very restrictive with her money. And so this had some echoes of my childhood of like the restriction that I had held there. And so I was like, no, I don't want restriction anymore. And I just took it all off. Is this a reasonable expectation of like how I should have related to money? Absolutely not. Right? I mean, especially looking back, this is not a reasonable look, but it was heavily emotionally charged. And again, I'm somebody that understood about money. I knew how it operated. I understood how it worked. And yet still, I, you know, did things. I allowed this emotional component to kind of come up and stranglehold my ability to handle my money financially, to handle it in a way that aligned with what I actually wanted. And that's not to say that there wasn't some alignment in being able to spend some money because I now had the ability to. But I'm going to tell you another story that might resonate with some. I can remember one very specific instance where it was an incredibly emotionally charged purchase. So first, I'm going to start by telling how we got here on the emotional spend. So again, very tight with money in my ex relationship, right? And my ex marriage, like my previous marriage. And so he did not want us to buy a Christmas tree. Luckily, my mother is interior design and she had an extra Christmas tree. So she gave it to us. Super nice, right? We had a lot of ornaments like from my childhood and things like that. And then, you know, buying a couple ornaments here and there, that wasn't very expensive. So good deal. I really, really badly wanted to buy a tree topper, right? I wanted something that represented me, us as a couple, you know, something that was my own. Again, I had very little control over what decorations looked like in my house growing up because my mother is interior design. And she kind of ruled the roost on that. So I wanted the ability to put my own stamp on my own Christmas tree. And so I asked my ex-husband if we could buy a tree topper. And he's like, no, we need to wait until Christmas is over and they discount them to nothing. And then we can buy it. And his solution was that he had a King Kong action figure and he placed it on top of the tree and he thought this was hilarious. And in hindsight, it is kind of funny, right? This King Kong action figure on the top of a Christmas tree. Kind of a funny little nod to that movie, but it was not funny to me, right? That I couldn't even go buy like $30 tree topper for my Christmas tree. And I had gotten the free Christmas tree and all the other things. So we hadn't spent very much money. Like, why can I not have a tree topper on my tree? And so, you know, we split, we get divorced and I get ready to decorate for Christmas, right? I filed for divorce in August of that year. My divorce is finalized in October, so a couple of months later. And so now I'm done. And so now, you know, fast forward another month and we're in Christmas decoration season, right? End of November. And so here we are. And I go up into my attic to pull out my Christmas tree. And as I'm pulling out my Christmas tree, I see the tree topper that we bought on clearance after this, you know, once I was allowed to buy the Christmas tree topper. And something inside me just broke emotionally. I was like, no, I'm not putting up this Christmas tree. I'm not putting up this Christmas tree topper. This is ridiculous. I want to buy whatever the heck I want to buy. And I promptly drove myself to Lowe's and I drove myself to the hardware store and I picked out a white bottle brush Christmas tree, about the most opposite Christmas tree than the one that we had had before. And then I bought every possible fixing that you could possibly put on the Christmas tree. We're talking new ornaments. We're talking tinsel. We're talking tree topper, tree skirt. It didn't matter what it was. I just spent the money. I couldn't have cared less. And it was probably a lot of money thinking back. I don't really know. But this was a very emotional purchase, right? And I'm not saying that there may not have been a little bit of cathartic healing that was happening in that process. And I'm not even saying that I made the wrong decision. Maybe this was something that needed to happen. But what I am saying is that I let my emotions override and I should have taken a step back to ensure that the decision I was making was in alignment with the financial mastery level that I wanted to reach. But instead, what I did is I allowed the situation, the scenario, to override the situation that I was in. And I definitely have made more of these decisions over the course of time, but I have started to step out and be better about, okay, is this an alignment? Is this something that I'm looking to do? And please understand, we're all going to make purchases from an emotional place sometimes, spend money from an emotional place sometimes. And there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong about emotions or even about emotions and money intersecting. What's important, though, is for us to ensure that we do separate them enough out that we ensure that the decisions that we're making are aligned with the life that we want to live, the intention we're trying to live out. And I get it. Not every single one will be made that way, right? Like not every single Target run or trip to the gas station or whatever it is, your kind of little point of pleasure is going to be that way. Or the opposite. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you are somebody who kind of hoards money, right? You don't spend a dime, right? This is a situation with my Oma, with my mother's mother. She had grown up incredibly poor, lived through the Great Depression, had experienced incredible, incredible hardship, had busted her butt and worked literally like a dog. She was a dog groomer to make every cent. And towards the end of her life, here she is still hoarding some of this money. And she and I are in a conversation one day about her money and how she would love to buy a couch. But, and literally, mind you, these couches had been in existence since before I was born. Like literally there's pictures of me as an infant sitting with people on these couches. Okay. So they were older than me and I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s at the time. So these couches had been in her life forever. And I said, so why don't you buy the couch? This is something that you heavily desire. You have clearly thought about it. It's clearly in alignment with what it is you want. And she said, well, you know, I want to be able to leave money to you guys. I want to be able to make sure, you know, and what a sweet sentiment that that is what she wanted to do. And I said, I definitely hear that, but this is something that you worked and you earned and you're holding on to it with really pure intention. But what's aligned with you right now is having something that you desire and something nice for yourself. And something that you've worked really hard for. And so as opposed to restricting yourself and just convincing yourself that the right thing to do is just to hold on to it because you never had anything and you just want to leave a little something behind, which again, I totally appreciate. And there's nothing, again, on its face that's wrong with it. It's conflicting with this idea that I'm to a point where I'm ready to replace these couches I've owned forever. And after some conversation with her around where her emotional state was, why she was making the decisions she was making, she decided that she was going to go ahead and purchase the couch. Not because anymore it was an emotional decision, right? But because it was in alignment with what it is she wanted and what fit her. And I think a lot of times, it happens all the time, not just when we're going through transitions, but specifically when we're going through transitions, these emotionally charged moments in our lives, right? Grief, uncertainty, things like this, that a lot of this stuff starts bubbling up within us. And we don't take the opportunity to give ourselves a moment to pause and say, okay, before I do that, what does that look like for me? What kind of alignment is there, right? Where is this coming from? Because it also could be an indicator that we might want to work through a few things, right? And it's just super important for you to do that work, because it's something that I constantly have to work on, because this is not like a one and done thing. It's not like, oh, you fix that problem, so that's it. It's never going to come back up again, or we're never going to deal with any other, you know, challenges surrounding money and mastery and all of these things. The important part is that you take the time to lean in. Because living a successful life and living a life that you have mastered on any front, doesn't matter if it's money, career, family, you name it, most of it is surrounding awareness and surrounding, are you willing to sit with yourself, ask yourself hard questions, come to realizations that you need and that you know, things like that. And I just really wanted to talk and speak to that because I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of those close to me. I have seen it in the lives of our mortgage clients when a lot of times the borrowing the money to buy a house is a much more emotional decision than it is about the numbers, because the math is the math and it tracks the way it tracks. Like, not me, not you, not anybody else gets to change that. But how you make the decisions surrounding it, why are we making this choice? Does it fit in the big picture of what it is we're trying to do and how we're trying to live our lives or whatever? That is the part that we so often don't take the pause. We're running so fast and so hard and so on the hamster wheel. We just haven't taken a moment to pause. And I'm guilty of that. I am definitely somebody that runs a million miles a minute. I'm sure you can tell by how fast I talk. And it's just so important. And I found my nervous system, myself, my everything just start to calm when I literally do take a few deep belly breaths and start to ask myself, okay, do I really want this? Do I really need this? Is this the right decision for me? Because my body already knows. That deep knowing is inside. And I already know, and it faces up a little differently for every person, but you're powerful beyond measure, and you know more than you think you do, even if you don't feel that way at the moment, I promise. And so, again, just remind yourself, first of all, give yourself some grace as you're coming to awareness and you're going through processes or whatever, right? Try to separate out some of the emotional pieces of money when you're trying to make decisions, especially big ones. I'm not telling you that every decision you make that's 20 or 30 bucks, you need to like overanalyze it. So please don't misunderstand me. That's not my intention here. Don't get stuck in the overthink too badly. But what I am saying is take the time to think it through, to ask yourself questions, to ensure that the life that you're living from a financial aspect is the level of mastery you're looking for, that you're walking down the path that you find valuable. And so hopefully this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified was helpful. And if you are looking and you're going through some transition periods and you need a little bit of help, please reach out. Don't struggle through it on your own. If you need resources, I promise we have them, whether it be us specifically that can help you or whether it be that I have a person to connect you to, I promise there are ways that you can find this awareness, find this alignment, ensure that you are walking down the right path. Hope to see you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.